Welcome to PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
We're excited about the coming of Christ. Jesus is coming soon. He said, "Behold, I come quickly." That means suddenly, rapidly, at any time, at any moment. We ought to get up every day and think, perhaps today.
On today's PowerPoint, Dr. Graham brings a message about what you'll feel forever in heaven. Now, here's Dr. Graham with his message, Forever Grateful.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 28, there is a scripture that speaks of your future. Isn't it amazing that even physically, God set our eyes looking forward? He didn't put our eyes in the back of our head or on the sides of our heads where our ears, with our ears, but straight and center, because we are made to live forward and to look forward and to live for eternity now. And verse 28 of Hebrews chapter 12 says this about our future. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, and that is best translated, let us be thankful, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, all of the Bible from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, is about this kingdom of God. The king and his kingdom is all about him. And the king is coming to establish his kingdom. He's coming again. And this kingdom will be an eternal kingdom, an unshakable, immovable, immutable kingdom of God, a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Now, we live in a shaky world, don't we? We live a world that has been shaken by fears of terrorism and of impending war. We have been literally shaken by natural disasters of unusual proportion. And of course, our world is shaking with moral earthquakes and the collapse of the culture and biblical foundations. And the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? We're living in a shaky world. And the Bible says that this world as we know it is passing away. So don't build your life on a shaky foundation, an unstable foundation, but rather receive an unshakable kingdom. The things that will never change, that are built upon the rock who is Christ. And in these last days of seismic shaking, the Christian can be confident. We can be secure. We can be stable because we are receiving an unshakable kingdom. And that kingdom is coming with Christ. So we give thanks in response to that. We are forever grateful for that. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. Thanksgiving is not just a day for the believer. It is a life. It is an eternity. And therefore, we are forever grateful today, tomorrow, and forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for this is good. His mercy endures forever. So if your life is shaking, if you find your world turned upside down, rather than living in a shaky condition, you can live a life that is joyful and grateful, full of enthusiasm and victory and peace and joy when you choose every day to be thankful and to be forever grateful. Even though your circumstances may change, even though you may suffer loss, even sorrow and grief, in every day and in every way, we are to give thanks. Because you see, in heaven, when we will see perfectly and clearly everything, we will be forever grateful in heaven because our perspective is now changed. We see things from a heavenly perspective. And so don't live for that which is temporal, but live for that which is timeless. Don't live for what is earthly, but live for what is eternal. Because then when we get on the other side, those things that we wondered about, those things that we worried about, fretted about, those things that we feared in our lives, we will know that God was working all along behind the scenes, invisibly, invincibly, and what we did not understand will make perfect sense on the other side. So that's why we live with this brand new perspective. We know that God is in control. We know that Romans 8:28 is true, working eternally, that God is working all things together for the good to them who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. We know. This is not something we think. It's not simply an opinion. We know because God says it's true that He is at work in our lives, and therefore we are grateful. And nothing can show up in our life, no experience that we encounter, to knock us off our feet when we know that God is working perfectly, progressively in our lives. So because all that is true, there's a therefore in this scripture. Therefore, that means here's where the action is. Here's how you are to respond. How are we to respond to this unshakable kingdom? By living for eternity here and today. So how are we going to do that? Number one, we live with an expectant attitude. We live on tiptoes with excitement and anticipation. We're looking forward to His return. We're excited about the coming of Christ. Jesus is coming soon. He said, "Behold, I come quickly." That means suddenly, rapidly, at any time, at any moment. That's the excitement. We ought to get up every day and think, perhaps today. It will change the way you live. Lord, perhaps today is the day I see You. It will transform your thinking. It will transform your living. And you live with this excited, joyous, expectant attitude. It changes the way we live because we live with grateful hearts and godly fear. Now we have a new vantage point. We have a vision for life and the future. This becomes our point of reference in life. It's the future. It's our point of reference. So no matter what happens to us, no matter what we go through, we have this reference point. We have this vantage point, this advantage point. And therefore, we live expectantly. That's our attitude. But not only to live with an expectant attitude, but we live with a grateful heart. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us give thanks by which we serve God. Our hearts are filled with thanksgiving, and we become true worshipers with reverence and holy and godly fear. The word worship means to kiss toward. It's leaning forward to kiss. It's to humble and to bow ourselves before God with adoration and awe of His presence. With holy fear, not the kind of fear that causes us to run from God or to quake in His presence, but rather to run to God and to reverence His presence. And that's the gratitude attitude. Have you noticed in life that everything is better when you're grateful? I mean, things taste better when you're grateful. Love is deeper. Joy is more complete. Your work, your play, a good cup of coffee, hugging your grandchild. I mean, everything is better in life when you have this perspective. And this is just an appetizer. for what it's going to be like in heaven. Every experience in life, when we're thinking, you know what, it just doesn't get any better than this. Every experience like that is just a little taste of what it's going to be like when we're with Him. And we are forever grateful in His presence. I want to experience all of that I can right now. God has placed eternity in our hearts. And the hope of heaven, the promise of heaven, should inspire us now to worship Him more and more.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, Forever Grateful. Pastor, there's an upcoming opportunity for our listeners to join you on the trip of a lifetime. Can you tell us more?
I want to personally invite you to join me for something very special. It's the Patriot Tour to Washington, D.C., April 22nd through 27th, 2026. As we celebrate the 250th birthday of the United States, we're going to visit some of the most powerful and historic places in our nation's capital, like the U.S. Capitol, Arlington National Cemetery, the National Monuments, Mount Vernon, and the Museum of the Bible. This won't be just a tour, it will be a spiritual journey, really. I'll be opening God's Word along the way, teaching us about the spiritual foundations, the biblical foundations of our nation, and the hope that we have for the future. So, registration is now open, and I'd love for you to be a part of this unforgettable experience. For more information and to reserve your spot today, text PATRIOT to 59789. Can't wait to see you there.
Now, let's get back to today's message, Forever Grateful.
Yes, we live with grateful hearts. We live with an expectant attitude. But we also live with a sober, serious mind. Verse 29 of Hebrews 12 says that our God is a consuming fire. That speaks of the judgment of a holy God. And in view of the fact that God is going to judge this world, we should be serious minded. I'm not saying we don't have joy. I've already said we have an expectant, optimistic, excited attitude about life. But there is a sobriety when we think about the future and the future of our family and friends who may not know Christ. Those who don't know the message, those who reject the message. And Jesus said, there will be hell to pay. Jesus, who is incarnate love, when He came to earth, spoke more about hell than any other person. 13% of the words of Jesus have to do with judgment and separation from God in the place called hell. Fiery judgment is sure. The Bible says that we dare not spiritualize the truth concerning judgment. It's a serious matter to deny the truth, to dilute the truth, to distort the truth about heaven and hell. So don't build your life on this collapsing world, because after this life, there is an eternity. Now the question is, where will you spend eternity? My friend Steve Stroop took a microphone and a camera to Las Vegas, Nevada, and did some interviews on the street, and he asked a couple of questions. I want to show you these interviews. The first question is, what do you think happens after you die?
I don't believe in the afterlife, but...
No.
I don't believe in the afterlife.
I think they get reincarnated and come back as a flower.
I think they go to heaven.
You're going on to a better place and going on to be with everyone else that you've been with, all the loved ones in your life.
They go to heaven or hell.
But we float on a cloud with all the people that we were on earth with before that we loved.
Probably go someplace better than here.
They turn into spirits and walk around, I think.
Nothing, pretty much. They just turn into dirt. That's about it.
Where did they go?
Reincarnation.
Okay, I did not get enough sleep last night for that question.
I don't know.
Oh, well, that's a good question for me, because I've had several family members that I've lost. So I've thought about it an awful lot. Now, a lot of people, the first thing they'll think is to go to heaven. That's God and the whole religion. I don't know, actually. I'm thinking that there might be some sort of purgatory, you know, something in between heaven and hell.
I think that their spirit is released and goes to heaven.
I don't know, my opinion changes a lot, so I don't know.
Nothing, they turn to ashes.
I'm hoping I'll see my family, is all. That's all I can say.
Oh, they definitely go to heaven.
I think it depends, because you could either, it depends where your soul goes. I think some people get stuck here on earth, their spirits, depending on what kind of person you are on the inside.
I think they just disappear. There's like no heaven or hell. They're just gone.
I'd have to say, if I were to dig deep down, I have to believe that we end up in a somewhere, I want to say better. Yeah, it's got to be a better place. I got to be optimistic here. I got to say a better place.
There's a great deal of confusion out there today. So many voices vying for our attention about what happens next. And while many of you have grown up in church and you think you know the answer of what's going to happen next because someone told you, I want to challenge you to read your Bible and to know what you believe and why you believe what you believe, so that you can live with a confidence and a certainty, and better than that, more than that, that you can live with a compassion and a passion for people who don't know Christ. You say, well, that's Las Vegas. Well, these folks are from all over the country interviewed. And I dare say, even if you interviewed people right here on the buckle of the Bible Belt, you would get similar answers. Because people are so confused. I don't know. Maybe you're wondering, what's next for me? Is it just ashes to ashes, dust to dust, dirt to dirt? Is it reincarnation? Is it nirvana? Is it a better place? Is it no place? Some of you are banking on pulling the dirt over your face in your grave and hiding from God. But our God is a consuming fire. That's a sobering thought. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. So we all have a decision to make. Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? And if there is, how do I go to heaven? Now we're told that 85% or something like that of Americans believe in an afterlife, believe in heaven of some kind. So the next question that Steve Stroop asked 60 people on the street, we'll get a few snippets, was, okay, suppose there is a heaven, then how would a person go to heaven? Listen, and once again, the answers will amaze you.
If there is a place called heaven and there is a God, that's the question. I think that we need to try to live this, I guess, the best path, I guess, in a sense, the most positive path that we can, that goes with the Bible, I guess. If we're talking about a Catholic God and Christian God, I know there's different gods out there. But just be the best person you can.
Live a moral life. I don't know. Behave. Be good to others. Do unto others.
Not be a politician. And I don't know. Just be a good person.
Well, I would say if you killed somebody, you probably go to hell. If you're good in the latter part of your life, you go to heaven.
Just on the latter part, though,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, make up for your young age.
Yes, finish strong is what you're
counting
on.
Yeah,
is that
exactly.
It?
That's what I'm saying. All right.
I have no idea. I don't believe. No idea.
Believe in God and not necessarily pray, but have a belief and ask for His forgiveness if you do something you think is wrong.
I don't believe in God. Don't believe in hell.
So you just, you don't know then?
Lead a reasonably good life here.
Treat others the way you would want to be treated.
Just be a good person.
What do you think?
Just be good to themselves, I guess, and people they love.
Be a good person. I agree.
Be nice. Be kind. And do as good as they can do in life.
If you believe in heaven, there has to be a God. And if there's a God, then you have to make peace with God. Or if you don't, then he's not going to know you, because he's your father. If you don't have a relationship with him, then he's basically going to like forsake you and say, I don't know you. And that way you're going to go to hell.
So what would your answer be? Out of 60 people asked on the street this question, only 4 gave the right answer, the biblical answer. And once again, the confusion is everywhere. Most people are going to say the way to heaven is do the best you can. Be nice. Be good. Make up for the bad stuff. Try your best. Hope for the best. But you see, our best is not good enough. I'm not good enough, and neither are you, to earn my way to heaven. There is no prayer. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher, because I'm a pastor, because I'm good, because I deserve it. I don't, and neither do you. Here's what the Bible says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. No one's going to get to heaven and say, I deserve to be here. I did it the old-fashioned way. I earned it. Not a chance. I wouldn't trust the best minute I ever lived to get me to heaven. The fact is that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift, that's His grace. Grace is God's hand reaching down to us. It is Christ coming to us with forgiveness and the offer of eternal life and saying, I died for you, I rose again, I live again so that you may know me and experience my presence. This is why you were made. This is why I love you. That's grace. It's God giving us what we could not deserve, could never earn or merit. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. Salvation is not in a church. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. No one's going to heaven because they're religious. In fact, Jesus didn't even come for religious types. He came for irreligious types. Sinners. And so I'm not going to heaven. No one goes to heaven because of their church. Salvation is not a code, it's not a creed, it's not a cause, it's not commandment keeping, but Christ and Christ alone. What Christ did for us on the cross and how He rose again on the third day. That's why He could make that bold claim, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. So my religion, my works, my rituals, not my baptism, not communion, not because I'm a Baptist, a Catholic, an Episcopalian, none of that is in Christ or in Christ alone. And when our hand of faith reaches up and takes hold of God's hand of grace reaching down, that is salvation. That is where the transaction is made. And we are then forgiven of our sin. Christ comes to live in our lives, and we have a hope and a future with Him. And that's why we can say with such confidence, I know that I know that I know that I'm going to heaven because of what Christ has done in my life. These things are written, the scripture says, that you may know that you have eternal life. If you don't know it, now's the time. Now's the time to know that you have eternal life. Now's the time to say yes to Jesus Christ so that you can live not only with an expectant attitude and a thankful heart and a sober mind, but with a confident hope that you will be with Him forever.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, Forever Grateful. In a time marked by confusion, anxiety, and spiritual compromise, your support of PowerPoint helps point others to the source of unshakable hope, God's Word. Through your generosity, we're proclaiming the gospel across the airwaves, on digital platforms, and through daily devotionals, reaching hearts in living rooms, prison cells, and far beyond. And with every broadcast, more people are discovering the Bible not just as a rule book, but as the living voice of God that speaks with clarity, power, and grace. So to thank you for your gift of $10 or more, we'd love to send you Dr. Jack Graham's powerful book, The Jesus Book. This life-changing resource walks you through every book of the Bible and shows how each one points to Jesus. It's a tool to deepen your confidence in Scripture and help you experience Christ in a fresh and personal way. To give your gift and receive your copy of the Jesus book, text book to 59789. Again, book to 59789. How would your life change if you applied a bit of practical wisdom each day of the month? Find out by joining Dr. Graham in October as he dives into practical wisdom from the Bible. Each day we'll send a short teaching from God's Word to help you grow in wisdom and live the life He desires. If you're ready, text CHALLENGE to 59789 and we'll get started. Again, that's CHALLENGE to 59789. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
God gives us clear directions on how we're to live. In today's message, I gave you several steps you'll want to remember when seeking to live the kind of life God expects. Take a few moments right now to jot these down. First, live with an expectant attitude. Are you living as if Jesus could return today, living every moment anticipating His revival? That's an expectant attitude. Live with it. Then, live with a grateful heart. Hebrews 12:28 tells us to give thanks since we are inheriting the kingdom of God. Every day, carry with you this attitude of gratitude and praise and worship to God. And then live with a sober, serious mind. Remember that there are people in your life who still don't know Jesus. Life is very serious and very important. So live your life in such a way that others will want to know Him. And then live with a confident hope. Since you're a believer in Christ, you can live your life knowing that your future is secure. Now, if you're listening to me and you don't know Jesus, and you'd like to experience that forgiveness in your life right now so that you can know that you're going to heaven, then I encourage you right now, invite Jesus into your life. Pray and receive Him as your Lord and your Savior. I mean, from your heart, just simply call upon the name of the Lord. For the Bible says, if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. And then listen, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So just call upon His name in faith right now and invite Christ to come into your heart. And if you're doing that right now, then I want to welcome you into the family of God.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift of $10 or more to PowerPoint, we'll send you a copy of Dr. Graham's book, The Jesus Book, as our thanks. Text the word book to 59789. And join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how to stay passionate for Christ on your journey through life. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham. PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.